embarrassment and revenge on the TVO imprint show in this issue, February issue of this magazine. So she had an identity crisis. But the point is, these people don't have a mastery of the discarnate experience. You can read Toronto Life magazine, the cover articles on the baby boom blues, how people don't have access to understanding of the discarnate state. And the person who writes this article is very depressed because they don't understand it. Now you, I'm assuming you're young. You're not part of the baby boom generation born in the 40s and 50s, all right? Just assuming this. You are so blessed because you are young. You can take in new dogma, and you're listening to me. You're going to have a better handle on the discarnate state than your older brothers and sisters, all right? Or anybody, because it's after August 1987, right? The harmonic divergence. So we are properly explaining the reason we're taking heroin today, because we want to simulate that experience that Marshall McLuhan explained in 1951, where the mind is a stage on which is contained and reenacted the entire experience of the human race. That's the content.
Yeah, well, I want to make room for another caller if I could.
Sure.
Is that enough, caller? If you have some more questions, call later, okay? Keep listening.
Okay, that's cool. I'll just have to go find my points now and take it easy.
Okay, that's right.
Thanks for calling.
Clean needles.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Okay.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
I wanted to share the feeling.
Great.
Right on.
And I wanted to ask a question. Maybe you could clear this up for me. About 2 months ago, I saw a book, Edwards Books, by Penelope Gillian.
Yes.
The title of the book is 22 Stories.
Yes.
I didn't read it, but I turned to page 22, and I counted 22 words in, and the phrase, "Leave yourself alone," was there, and I wondered if you could explain that to me.
Oh, that's fantastic. Did you know about the significance of 22? Had you heard it from me or knew it on your own?
I'd heard it from you, and I checked it out.
That's great work. That's how you do it. That's how you read books today. And the phrase is, it leaves you alone?
Leave yourself alone. And I don't know what self is.
Right. And
so I'm really not clear on what to do with that.
Well, see, the 22 is the content. It's visual or acoustic, as I explained, and the form is tactile, which is the discarnate state. So you look at visual metaphors like a book with this code. You impose the code on it to find things like that, because what that phrase refers to is the discarnate state. Are you changing your tape there?
Yeah, well, I'd have to turn it the other side.
See, they're taping.
I have to review it later, like the other film.
I can't
understand things as they're going on.
That's right. That's a discarnate state.
Yeah.
The verbal stuff is just a surface spume of verbal species while we experience
it. We just throw it onto another medium so
yeah.
We can understand it.
The tape cassette is a way, it's a private book. It's a way of reestablishing your private citadel of awareness. You know?
Why? The cassette's thicker than a credit card.
Beg your pardon?
The cassette is thicker than a credit card.
Ah, good point. The credit card is the stage. Point here is you were saying that, okay, so 22, you use that as a surface code to find out the phrase. The phrase refers to the tactile discarnate condition of solitude. Solitude is what we all experience, electric autonomy now. Every one of us is containing the 5 billion people on this planet and the 5 billions on the other planets and on the other dimensions. We contain whole multitudes now because we permeate the universal stage, the inner and the outer. So you're bigger than any vision of God you ever had, okay? We have done this. We've hooked ourselves up electrically to this incredibly macrocosmic state, and it's microcosmic too. We are inside the atoms, you know, the quarks. Okay, in these space-time terms.
I still don't. I don't quite catch what self is.
That's right.
What it is to leave alone.
You can't visualize it. So, if you contain all these dimensions, and also you are contained inside all the other dimensions on this planet electrically, then you are both a huge master, king, emperor, and a slave. You have. Bucky Fuller worked out, I've pointed this out before, who have 400 people working for you in the Western environment, providing services. And you're providing services in your little function, whatever it is, not to demean it, but little puny in terms of the scale we're talking.
Right.
You are working in some service. Doesn't matter if you're on welfare or you're Prime Minister Mulroney. Everybody is equally serving each other now. We need people on welfare. That gives the bureaucrats employment, right?
Right.
So the thing is with... You have all these slaves working for you, and you're one of the slaves. also. It's a yin-yang implosion, all right? All right. The point is, there's no way any of us can connect with each other through these environments, other than through Bob and the discarnate state if we acknowledge it. But I am acknowledging the solitude we all feel, because as we implode on ourselves, we are a gaping maw feeding on ourselves. The computer environment feeds on itself. Do you understand how we're like the tip of a finger trying to feel itself? The thing that does the...
I read about how they've got over 1,700 angels on the point of a pin.
Yeah, now that's the old visual space metaphor for discarnate man, but it wasn't discarnate. Because electric space is not a pin, it's not a container. It's an X-ray, it's a permeation. That's why the electric media caused identity crisis in all cultures around the world.
Well, so why do I still want to see it?
That's your visual heritage growing up in the West. See, the eye is totally useless today, and it screams out to be useful. That's why if you turn to page 52 of Finnegan's Wake, it says right in the middle of the page, James Joyce wrote this in the period from 1922 to 1939. Note 1939 adds up to 22. He says on page 52, he says, television kills telephony and brothers broils. Television kills telephony and brothers broil. The eyes demand their turn. Let them be seen. All right? He's talking about the visual space or the function of the eye, which was captain through the Gutenberg galaxy for 3,000 years. Now is usurped by the audible tactile environment. The eye is straining. That's why we're swamped with mountains of visual space, from newspapers, magazines, to art galleries, all screaming to use the eye.
So do we do something?
You become aware of what I just said, you fully understand it, and then you will see. As Joseph Conrad said, my whole purpose is to make you see, but you can't see with your eyes alone. It must reintegrate with the other sensory faculties. The image is the eye with an ear over it. Look in McLuhan's Medium is a Massage. There's an image there.
I'm going to go.
All right, thanks.
I'm going to listen to this later and figure out what I said.
Right, and you come back.
Okay.
If you're satisfied or unsatisfied, either position, because we're at the both end situation, we continue making.
Both end.
Yeah, both end.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, caller.
You have any other, Mike?
Not on the line right
okay.
now.
Okay. So, Mike, I did make a reference to something just in passing. I mentioned how the individual came out of the circle. The line came out of the circle. See, the original form, the self-evident form, was the circle. It wasn't the line. Many people know this now. But if you wake up Lyndon LaRouche's geometry, you can see how synthetic geometry is called. It came out of the Humboldt curriculum in the 19th century in Germany. Synthetic geometry was usurped by post-Euclidean geometry and also the pink Euclidean geometry. But synthetic geometry is the best way for young people to use their eyes. It's the geometry of visual space reawakened, because each student goes back to the original work done by Plato and the geometers of the effect of the alphabet, visual space in Greece. Okay, then condensed into Euclid's work. But Euclid was a pink version. It didn't really include the real mysteries. Now, this has been recovered by the LaRouche School, and you can read about this in the library at Bloor and Young. The basic first principle is the reason the circle comes before the line is that the circle, as a self-evident form, creates the line when you take half the circle and fold it over on itself. If you can imagine that, you then have the diameter of the circle, but it's folded over on itself. Now, that folding over on yourself is the act of recognizing, the act of memory. So the first metaphysical meaning of memory, which was implanted by the aliens in the genetic structure in caveman times, we'll just keep it simple, all right? In Paleolithic time, they altered the genetic structure so that the instinctual life of the human being at that point could start to reflect. Now, geometrically, this is expressed, and reflect means to recognize, to remember an action that already happened. That's the beginning of individual perception in the physiological level. And this is the mystery of why, when a circle is folded, the line is formed. Okay?
We do have another caller, Bob. Okay. Let's go to our line. You're listening to the Church of the Subgenius Radio Hour. Hello.
Bob.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
Have you heard of the big fad in Europe for 1989, unreported by our media? Was Gorby acid? You were speaking of Robert Anton Wilson earlier?
And LSD we were talking about earlier, yes.
Right. Well, he has an article in that new Magical Blend. And he says he was on tour over there, and he says that the big fad in Europe in 1989, unreported by our media, was Gorby acid, blotter LSD with Gorbachev's picture on it. Aficionados insist it's the best acid since the legendary blotter of 1978 that had the Illuminati eye and pyramid on it. Some even claim Gorby is as good as Sandoz. London is celebrating by having huge acid parties which are almost semi-public and verge on overt civil disobedience. Berlin, Heidelberg, and Zurich, among other places, all have their own supply of the wonderful Gorby acid, and rumor insists the manufacturer is in Amsterdam, which is, of course, always has the best acid in Europe. And the article goes on. Later in the article, he talks about the information implosion.
And this is by Anton Wilson?
Yeah. Where
he's using that phrase?
I don't know if he uses that phrase, but he's basically talking about, I think, the idea is that we go through 200 years every 12 months or something.
Yeah.
So he's speaking about, if we take all the information of 1 AD as a unit, it took 1,500 years for information to double, 75% of the time from Christ until now. But the next doubling of information took only 250 years and was complete by 1750. Information has doubled faster ever since, and the last doubling, recorded by Anderla, occurred in the last 6 years between 1967 and 73. Jacques Vallée recently estimates that information is now doubling every 18 months.
Okay, Dave, let me just interrupt you there. You see, this will lead to confusion. This is where Robert Anton Wilson is a pink guru. Because he's talking about information as categorization and the old form of alchemical matter change. Do you know that we're in a post-information society, and this is even taught at Concordia University by Arthur Croker? This is well known among certain elements who follow Bob's work, that we're in a post-information. So to graduate the parameters and geometric progressions of the turnover of information is erroneous in the 20th century. Information became the electric environment 130 years ago. The environment now is information. When you turn on your TV, when you look at the book, like this earlier caller, he didn't read the content of the 22 Stories book. He imposed the code, okay? You don't read the content. That information's obsolete. Any kind of alphabetic visual materials and photographic materials are not informative. Even genetic material, you know, the biotechnology is obsolete because the attempts to mutate and change the body genetically has been usurped by the electric environment changing our bodies in the discarnate level beyond any imaginings of Aldous Huxley or any science fiction guy like George Orwell worrying about the genetic effect. The thing is, when you look at a book or you look at television or you look at this show, you study the ground. The ground is the information, not the content, the feeling, the ground. That information is not something that informs you. It forms you. In means it's inside visual space. We're talking formation, not information anymore. So you see, Robert Anton Wilson is playing catch-up ball here. Right?
Well, I thought it was interesting because a couple of weeks ago you were talking about how the holy offices were reflected in the pink, you know.
That's okay. Alternative offices, yes, yes.
Yeah, so this, as far as that idea goes, I thought it was interesting.
And it's also interesting that the very issue you're holding of Magical Blend, the newest issue, has an article on the cover, The Church of the Subgenius.
That's right.
And the editor of Magical Blend is Jay Kinney, one of the early cartoon anarchists who promoted Reverend Stang's church so that they could handle their situation in Dallas after I left. And so you have Jay Kinney, the editor, promoting his own church in his own magazine. Is that a pink or is that subgenius?
Could be a subgenius.
That's right, that's subgenius, but with a pink slant, but probably imposed, right?
Right.
So, now listen, Dave, you have a question for me you've been wanting to ask me for a long time. Would you ask it? Hurry up. Really, ask it.
the one question I wanted to have that I've been holding on to for a few months
here. Yeah, I don't know what it is.
If you could explain the difference between human scale and human image.
That's a brilliant question. The difference between what those terms refer to, right? The human scale and the human image.
Well, the human image is obsolete, has been.
Right, so how can the electric environment, or as my chart says, in, under second coming conditions, how can human scale be retrieved, right?
Right.
Just before we go into that, the thing about, you know, that Eastern Europe is redoing the 60s properly. It's almost like Russia is unique. They replayed the 19th century dogma of Marx in a proper format, right? They tried, with the revolution of 1917, to implement the subgenius work of Karl Marx beyond the capitalist situation. And they did it, right? They actually had the communist revolution there. Now, they now recognize that the ground has shifted. So, just a minute, there's something jamming my signal just a second here. I didn't see where that was leading. All right, so then the next revolution was the 60s, the corporate mixed media revolution, in terms of major paradigm shifts. And again, the Western world flubbed it. You know, we blew it in the West, or the Pinks did, in the 60s, right? So what you have is Eastern Europe and Gorbimania redoing the Tim Leary acid stuff and all that right there in Russia, and they're redoing the 60s, almost like another century. They're doing it properly. They're putting in playwrights. They're putting in Czechoslovaks, Allen Ginsberg and Dick Gregory in there, and they're hoiking up Frank Zappa,
yeah,
whereas we hoiked up John Lennon.
That's why I thought this article was interesting.
Yeah,
it's replaying the 60s.
They're replaying it with more conscious awareness than it was done before. It is obsolete what they're doing, but you can bring back the past and charge it with the values of the past, and yet relate it to the present if you're aware of the nature of the present. And Gorby is, because he's working for me, right? So that's why it's exciting over there now. But that excitement is not what we're picking up. The excitement are the effects on us. Have you ever studied the people in Toronto over the last 6 months? Have you studied them as they take this information in? Like Mike's a good example. You study Mike's reactions to my stuff. I mean, he did say at the end of the year he's been converted.
Mm-hmm. Right, he's a little bored towards the end of 89, but I think it's a new Mike now in 1990.
Oh, no, he was bored 2 weeks ago because he was ill, you know. But he was bored in October. But not in December, the last show, December 27th. That's when, see, I heard Mike on another show, on his own show, where he was shocked at what happened to Czechoslovakia. He did say over the air that he didn't believe Czechoslovakia would go as fast as it did. So that's when Mike had to do some perceptual transformation. He got into the Acoustic 22, right? And he caught up. Now he's so obedient, I've got to sort of make a few mistakes to get that proper distance to make our show effective. You know what I mean? Okay, back to the human scale, Dave. The human scale versus the human image. We know the human image is subsumed by the discarnate image. Okay, human scale. Mechanical media, the Gutenberg Galaxy media, all media are machines, essentially. Originally, the television was a machine and all the technologies before that. The mechanization of our faculties had basically a gargantuan, superhuman, not superhuman in a Gnostic sense, though Gnosticism was its effect, but superhuman, monstrous, 1984 stuff. That was the problem that the Pinks and subgenies had to deal with for the last 400 years in the Gutenberg Galaxy. The monstrous consumption of mechanized media, the Industrial Revolution. And it was inhuman. It was monstrous, all right? Now, the electric media, because it makes us all in touch and resonate with each other on the most intimate scale, returns us to the possibility of human interaction. First of all, you can use a telephone and phone anybody on the planet. You don't have to write them. And you don't have to get distracted by the alphabet through a letter, which deflects the tone and intimacy of the voice. The intimacy of the voice is communicated immediately on the phone, right?
Right.
So since the telephone environment, we've had incredible human scale all around the planet. But in political terms, in relating back to mechanized media, human scale is the fact that all mechanical media will be etherealized and will be doing more and more with less, the basic process of miniaturization, leaving us time to talk to who you want to as long as you want. That's the leisure society slack that's coming once we have fusion energy, which will be in about 3 years.
But the image, meaning the personality behind what's being related isn't important? Is that what you're talking about by the human image is made obsolete?
Perfect question. The human scale is replay of human community inside the new electric environment. But because we are integrated electrically, Ri-E has returned to essence. The human form becomes organic. It becomes dynamic. It becomes an art form. And human communities will become art form. And they will be forced to become human scale and art forms as they deal with the perceptual impact of the electric environment, which is discarnate. So we're having a figure ground here. The figure will be the return to human scale. The ground will be the end of the human image, the discarnate state.
Good.
And the human dimension is pleasure and pain. So what I'm talking about, human scale, is dealing with your slack problems organically. That's what CKLN is. This is community radio, human scale. Right?
Right. Okay.
So that's just the beginning of explaining it. Okay? There's more to say about this issue, but that's enough to absolve. You'll have to listen to your tape and absorb that.
I was waiting for months for that one, Bob.
Thanks. And
also, the best of Bob.
Listen, Mike, this is the guy who did the second tape, The Fragments with
yes.
Bob. I want to thank you, Dave. Who edited that? It was excellent editing.
Me.
Do you have the equipment to do that?
Yeah, well, it's just basically, lift the pause button. Yeah. That's
fast finger on the pause button.
That's right.
Yeah, but there's no little click sounds.
Bob, you really, technology has advanced since you last bought a tape recorder.
That's right, since the Marconi era.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Dave. That's an excellent tape.
Okay.
I really
Night.
Appreciate it.
Okay, you're welcome. Night.
Good night.
Thanks.
Yeah.
There's another caller we'll get to, Bob. A comment on Dave's comment in your discussion about doing the 60s right. Of course, we think of the 60s and revolution, we think of fighting for socialism. Social change, but via socialism. And
well, it was the new left.
Yeah.
It was human scale socialism.
But what they're fighting for now is, in fact, democracy through capitalism. I mean, through capitalist channels. They're embracing all the Western values and fighting for that.
Well, they're confused. the thing is that what they mean by democracy is human socialism, community scale. What they mean by capitalist values is the hidden conflict they're unaware of the fact that each one of them is discarnate and is experiencing solitude, like that person found on page 22 of the 22 Stories book. The dogma of capitalism did not win this battle, but the impetus toward electric autonomy and a sense of making your own space for the European cultures, East European and Oriental cultures, they interpret that as adopting the visual space values because they never really had that. All right? So they're, again, interpreting what's happening to them through rearview mirror. But again, they're taking the past, and the past is mutating them. The rearview mirror is mutating them as they do it. That's why confusion is okay.
Okay. We do have another caller, so let's go to that caller. It's 10 after 1. You're listening to the Church of the Subgenius Show. J.R. Bob Dobbs. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I'd like to raise the issue of the presentation of Bob in non-electric environments.
Is this Andrew?
No, it's Bob from Nod Magazine.
Ah, good, good.
Some news for you. First of all, I should announce to your listeners that I will be publishing the first lengthy Q&A interview with Bob.
That's right.
Within 3 months, I'd say, 2 or 3 months. We have your photos, by the way.
Yeah, you didn't lose them.
No, we didn't lose them. We've shot them up, and they're sad and everything. We can get them back to you. Also, I should mention that this magazine are hiring me to write about the discarnate state and how it's manifested itself in Toronto.
Wait a minute. Can you hear me? Do they use the term discarnate?
Well.
What's going on here?
They will soon.
In other words, they want you to write about something.
That's right.
And you know what you're going to write about, having listened to the church, right?
Yes.
All right, continue. All right, and just clarify that.
Okay, so my point is two print medium articles being released in the next couple of months, both dealing quite heavily with Bob. I'm wondering how this will affect the speed of Bob's ascension to the pinnacle of power within the solar theater. How will this affect Bob's reign is what I'm asking.
Oh, it will really support it. See, the point is today is the big day when Gorby really revealed a lot of what Bob talked about, that he's not a communist, that he's going to become a president. You know, they're adopting capitalist values, but they know why they're doing it. He does, because he listens to my show and he takes private courses from me. All right? Now, that's true. There's no snickering about this. I mean, I didn't talk I didn't elaborate this too much in the interview with you, did I?
No, I don't think we dealt with this.
Yeah, because your interview is the first interview, and you get credit for doing the first one in the print medium. But, of course, as our opening message came from Dave Neufeld, do I anticipate the effects I have on people? I certainly do. And I've anticipated the extent of what I had to say to you, but it will create needs for more interviews after that. Yours will be the archetype, but your interview doesn't get the whole story. But the reason it will hoik me up is I could translate into visual media.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And, no, I didn't finish. As I get translated into visual media, you do see, that's, I'm not putting that down, that's true. But let me just verbalize it. What will happen is the King of Canada surfaces. King is visual space, right? Seeker Council 10. You actually are going to have in your resume the fact that you interviewed Bob Dobbs on his way to becoming politically post-Cretien King of Canada, a political function, the top-down 22 reality. This is actually a long-term political campaign going on, because I do have to become King of Canada to infiltrate the Secret Council 10 on a public level, and the public level will be visual space, will be this kind of stuff, this magazine, your magazine, not magazine, printed interviews. But I tell you, an exciting experience will happen. Let's hope every one of you is around to experience is when Barbara Frum interviews me. That is going to be amazing. You're going to see some metamorphosis there.
Now, when will that happen?
I'm not going to say when. It will happen. I imagine it'll happen when someone like her, who is stuck way back there, you know, way back there under visual space overload, it'll happen when I'm quite obvious on a visual space level. So after many interviews, such as yours, will be the time when Barbara will be forced to hoik me up.
Is this my function? I'm yanking you out of the electric environment so that simpleton pinks can understand your message. Is this my function within this whole thing?
It's one of your functions. It's remember, we're all slave masters. I'm also your slave, as well as your master. And the same applies to you. You're going to be making money off of my stuff because you're probably one of the few journalists in Toronto listening and taking advantage of this new knowledge.
Well, that's true. You could be end up to be quite a feather in my cap when you are the King of Canada and I'm acknowledged as breaking the story.
Yeah, you might get the biography. You're the Richard Gwynn of 2020. The year 2020. Oh, that's another point. Listen to this. You know, I was talking about the... George left a message 2 weeks ago, I don't know if you heard it, where the New Age, the according to the Cherokee calendar, the New Age begins August 30th, 1987, but it's completed. The transition point into the sixth world happens on December 21st in the year 2012, 2012, all right? And that's on December 21st. That is Frank Zappa's birthday. You see how these topics all revolve? We do have a theme every show. It becomes a Mandela. It becomes obvious. Everything relates. The caller's input. We don't prescript this. And Frank Zappa will be 72 years old on the day we officially go in.
Well, this is a point you made with me, because remember when we did the interview?
Yeah.
I, for some mysterious reason, my tape recorder was on pause for the first 45 minutes.
See, that will go in your biography after you're big as a Richard Gwynn.
A little footnote.
That's yeah. Right. And yeah. When we discovered...
how he interviewed Bob and forgot to have the tape on. I mean,
but it didn't matter. Once we discovered that the tape wasn't running,
yes.
The time, because I have a little clock on my tape recorder, remember the time?
It was a 22.
It was 2:22?
Yes, yeah.
And then, once we started again, you made the point that, well, it really doesn't matter that you missed the first 45 minutes, because this is very similar to what I do in my show, is reiterate the same concept over and over again in a multitude of forms.
Well, the electric environment works for me. What I told you in that first section, I thought, in retrospect, as I was saying it, that I was telling too much and jumping ahead of my schedule. And so the electric environment stopped itself and didn't record it. Much of what I said, which you probably can dimly remember, is what I will say later. You know what I mean? I was really happy that it wasn't recorded in retrospect, because it wasn't meant to be released at that point. And I just was carried away. Mike was there, and I always like to tell Mike everything. And Mike, you know, sort of his environment, his ambience made me spill my guts a little more than I should have. But I was saved by the tape recorder.
It broke the electric ice.
Yeah. It was the first time Mike was over at Club 22 in an electric situation. So, you know, I like to be the host, you know.
Maybe you're exhibiting a certain naivete in an interview situation.
No.
You weren't used to it.
No, it was a virgin situation for you, not for me, but I was really trying to please because it was your first time.
All right. Thanks very much. Got to go.
And one thing, Bob or Rob, something like that, right? Your name, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of what I said about sex, lies, and videotape and speaking parts? Did you ever understand what I said?
Unfortunately, I wasn't taping that night.
Okay.
I did mull it over. Speaking parts will also make a presence. You know, I interviewed a Goyan, and I think he's very, I think he could be a Gina for sure. I don't think he knows it.
A Gina?
A sub-Gina.
Yeah, okay.
A sub-Gina. And,
well, you thought he was listening to my show. Did you ask him?
I did ask him if he was aware of your show, and he was not.
He lied. He's been over at my place. Okay, so the thing is that what were you going to say about him? So,
well, you mentioned the word contained before.
Yeah.
And he, instead of referring to the concept of the discarded effect, he uses the word containment and immediately made me think of a Goyan.
He used the word containment?
He uses the word containment.
Yeah, it's the wrong word. I mean, the electric environment cannot be contained. That's the whole point. It's X-ray. It's interpenetrating. That's what you have to see. There's no frame in the electric environment. That's the new chaos. That's why the new physics is trying to articulate it verbally in physical models. They call it chaos. There is no frame in the electric environment, so never use that term. So you can correct that when you write the article, when you write the interview around it, right?
Okay.
But Bob corrects him. Put that quote in there as a footnote.
Point, counterpoint.
Because, I mean, he's a subgenius in the sense that he is instinctively aware, more than many other filmmakers, of the pulse of our times, but he doesn't fully understand the figure-ground relationship of his own task.
Mm-hmm.
And he won't master that until he really listens to my show, which he does, but when he gets to the point to understand it, then his movies will be really good. They won't even be movies. All right?
Fair enough.
So I think that's, yeah. So the point is, on the second tape, Fragments with Bob, thanks to Dave, there is a little rap on Sex, Lies, and Videotape, so you can get that tape, and it'll remind you of some of the things that I said.
Oh, good.
Okay?
Good. Great. I'll talk to them.
Okay.
Bye. Right.
Great, Mike.
Okay, that's it, Bob.
That's it. It's all over. No calls? Okay.
That's it for tonight.
We do have a hymn.
We'll just, it's in the background.
Turn it up. This is the hymn, folks. This is for Frank Zappa. This is Frank, Halfway on the Stairway to Heaven.
Okay, good night from the Church of the Subgenius, headquarters of the universe. I'll be around for a little while. Kent Perry's in at 2 o'clock. Good night, Bob.
Praise Bob.
Baba Msimang. Join me every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. for Ingoko. Ingoko brings you the latest music from Azania. Ingoko updates you on the musicians who produce their best despite the apartheid system. Ingoko is every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. on 88.1 CKLM.
Metropolis and CKLN present World Music at the Music Gallery. On Thursday, February 8th, from Vancouver, master cross-cultural composer Randy Rain Rouche. Owner of one of the largest collections of world instruments in North America, Rain Rouche presents a stunning array of his collection from trips to Southeast Asia. Rain Rouche is concerned with magic, not in any airy, effete fashion, but in a real sense, wanting to take his listeners out of their everyday consciousness and lift them into strange and strangely moving realms of beauty. That's Randy Rain Rouche on Thursday, February 8th. Tickets are $9 and $7 for students. Telephone 53 Music for more information. World Music at the Music Gallery, 1087 Queen Street West at Dovercourt.
No map, no trail, no footprint, no way home.
CKLN Night with Theater and Theater Pass Mirai are pleased to present the world premiere of Princess Pocahontas and the Blue Spots.
They say it was me! Betrayed my people. But it was they. Betrayed me.
An explosive new play by distinguished performer Monique Mojica, a passionate exploration of the true role of Native women and the conquest of the Americas. Historical and mythical figures guide a woman on a journey of empowerment as she traces her native bloodline and finds hope for her future.
Let me tell you how I became a virgin.
Listen to my song.
Part comedy, part howl of rage, Princess Pocahontas and the Blue Spots is above all a deeply moving celebration of survival.
I recognize my lifeline in your face when you bow your head in respect to hold a single kernel of corn in your hand.
Princess Pocahontas and the Blue Spots, performed by Monique Mojica and Alejandra Nunez and directed by Mirio Miguel, runs at the newly renovated Backspace Theater at Theater Pass Mirai from February 9th to March 4th. For ticket information, please call 363-2416. Brought to you in part by 88.1 CKLN.
A nation is not conquered until the hearts of its women are on the ground.